our perspective can be off because we are so zoomed in and focused on ourselves. And life is this huge, great, big adventure with God, but sometimes all we see are the blood vessels in our own eye. And we know this because sometimes, you know, when it's like those days when everything goes right, 99% goes right, but we zoom in and focus on the 1% that went wrong, or the 1% of things that we didn't say right. Or maybe, for example, you know what it's like to, you have so much to be grateful for, but we zoom in and focus on the thing that we don't have, and we obsess over that area where we want things to be better. Or maybe when nothing bad has happened, but we're focused in and worrying about what potentially could go wrong. Or more seriously, I guess, we have areas in our lives that aren't where we want them to be. And maybe you're here this morning and you can think immediately of that area of need or lack, or that relationship that's not right, or that person who's still sick, or whatever it is. And what happens is we can zoom in and focus and worry and think and dwell on and ruminate over that one thing so much so that it consumes our vision. And it affects the way that we see the world. It affects the way that we talk. It affects the way that we pray. And it affects the way that we see God and approach God, because all we can see is this thing that is weighing heavy upon us. All we can see is this thing that isn't right. And the problem is, it starts to infect and influence the way we speak, the way we see others, the way we love others, the way we think. And ultimately, how we perceive God. And the thing is, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that professor who gets to the end of his life or the end of his career and realizes that you've been focused on the wrong thing the whole time. Or I don't want to get to heaven and realize, oh, there was so much more that I was missing. And actually, I was so focused on this one thing the whole time. And so what do you do when you lose perspective, where that one thing is just filling your mind, filling your vision? What do you do when you lose perspective? How do we make sure that we're focusing on the right thing or seeing things clearly? And that's what I feel like God's been speaking to me about and encouraging me about recently. And I want to share two truths that help me zoom out and correct my perspective, two truths that help me focus off myself and to see the bigger picture, two truths that bring into focus who God is when I'm doubting or comparing or worrying about my life, two truths that help me see clearly. Can you say two truths with me? Two truths, two truths. And these two truths are that God is powerful and personal. About 10 years ago, I was in Australia and we were visiting my friend's family, and they lived in the middle of nowhere. And now when we say this in England, we mean maybe it's 25 minutes from the nearest Tesco, but they literally lived in the middle of nowhere. We'd driven 9 hours north of Sydney. We were hours in from the coast, miles from the nearest town, in the middle of nowhere. And one evening we'd had a fire pit, and as that died down, I became aware that there was no other light around. And the sky was just filled with more stars than I'd ever seen in my life. And for ages, we just sat, led back, and just watching and getting a glimpse of this normally unseen universe. And it was amazing. And in that moment, I felt so, so small, as I was reminded how tiny this planet is. And that in the grand scheme of the universe, how small and insignificant I was. And moments like that are really good for me, because my ego needs to be reminded of that sometimes, that I'm not as important as I think I am sometimes. But in that moment, I was reminded of how great and how big the Creator God was, and how awesome and powerful and limitless his creative power is. And the planet that we are on today, the air that we are breathing right now, demonstrates the creative power of God, because this universe, this atmosphere, is so finely tuned for the existence of life that it is impossible. If constants like gravity or electromagnetism or the expansion rate of the universe were altered by a fraction of 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 a fraction, that really scientific term used right there, if those constants holding our universe together were altered by like a minuscule amount, life wouldn't even be possible. But God, in his awesome power and creative ability, has just created this amazing environment for us to live and breathe and flourish and grow. And the truth is that God is so powerful. And the Bible is filled with amazing passages about the power of God and the creative power of God as well. And Isaiah 40 is one of them. And like, I encourage you, read the whole chapter later, but I'll just pick out a few bits from it. So Isaiah 40 from verse 12 says, "Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? For all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. Look up to the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding." God is powerful. Can you say an amen to that? Amen. God is powerful. Like, it is beyond our comprehension to know how big and how great he is. And when I remember that, my perspective starts to shift from myself and from my need or from my lack and starts to fix upon this God who is so much bigger and better. And in turn, my problems seem so much smaller and my worries seem so much more insignificant and my giants seem so much easier to defeat in light of how great and powerful God is, in light of the fact that he is still in control, in light of the fact that he still is the name above every name, that he's still the Lord over every Lord and the King over every King, and he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. When I remember that, my perspective starts to zoom out and change, and it moves from being focused on myself to being focused on who he is. The truth is, God is powerful. But what God chooses to do with that power is really important. Because God could be all-powerful, but a total tyrant. He could be all-powerful and totally disinterested in us. That would be fair. He'd be well within his right to do that. He could be all-powerful, but totally disconnected from anything in our lives. But the amazing news is that God is not only powerful, but he is personal. And in that chapter of Isaiah 40, woven between verses about God's power and his strength are verses like this. It says, "Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights?" Like, for a moment, just try putting your name in place of those, like Jacob and Israel, like Amy. How can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Amy, how can you say God ignores your rights? He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Psalm 8 is another great one. Verse 3 to 4 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." God, in his great infinite power, is mindful of you and cares for you. He's not only totally powerful, but he is totally personal, totally interested and invested in our lives, totally actively involved. He is mindful of you. He cares for you. He is invested and interested in even the smallest of details. A few years ago now, one of my friends was engaged, And a couple of us went wedding dress shopping with her. So she'd booked an appointment at a really lovely shop in Stow-on-the-Wold. So the appointment had been rearranged, the date had been changed, and so finally we made it there, went to this shop, and afterwards wanted something to eat, as you do. And there were like a few really lovely tea rooms, so we fancied a couple of scones. So looked for some tea rooms, went to one, it was shut, went to another, it was closed for refurbishment, so then went back and found this tea room that was now open. And as we sat down, we became aware that there were like Bible verses or scriptures across the walls, and looked on the table, and there was a leaflet there titled A Christian Story. And it was a story of how the owners had met Jesus, and they'd got saved like through an alpha course, and like their two sons had got saved as well, and they were serving in church, life was going really well. They were involved in church as a family. But then one day, with no warning, they found their 16-year-old son who had committed suicide, totally out of the blue, with no warning. And so this amazing couple journeyed through their grief and navigated that, and felt within it that God was telling them to open this tea room as a way to be able to demonstrate his love to other people and be generous to other people and like just bless others. They were incredible. And as we got talking to the owners, we found out that that day that we were there was the 15th anniversary of their son's death. And the couple just started opening up and saying how they felt they didn't want to come into work that day. They didn't want to open up, and they didn't want to open the tea room up. And it was really, really hard, and they were struggling, obviously. And in that moment, we were able just to encourage them and just to try our best to be Jesus to them and to say that we would pray for them and to speak life into them and just like lift them a little bit. And the reason I tell that story is because I fully believe that the date of our appointment had been changed and certain tea rooms had been shut in order to navigate us to that place at that time on that day just for that couple. Oh, and it makes me like, not upset, but like, it's amazing, because I fully believe that God cared enough about that couple, that he orchestrated our lives, cancelled our appointment, changed our day, and ordered our steps so that we would be there just to show them that they are loved, that they are seen, that God knows and he cares about them. Like, that is how interested he is in us. That is how much he sees us and he loves us. And today I fully believe that God sees you. And he sees the area of lack in your life. He sees that thing that is on your mind when you go to sleep and when you wake up. He sees that thing that weighs heavy on your heart. He sees it, and he cares, and he loves you enough today to remind you that he is more than just powerful. He's more than just able, but he is so actively present, involved, personal, and he is in pursuit of you today. Again, today, he is in pursuit of you. He's not distant. He is not disinterested, but he is passionately in pursuit of you today. And if you forget that, like, because we do, if you forget that, then just remember Jesus. Remember that, like we read in Isaiah 40, the creator of the universe became one of his created. And remember Jesus, because the one who never grows tired or weary or weak chose to feel the aches and pains of a human form. And the one whose understanding knows no bounds and knows no limits chose to have to learn to walk and talk. And the one who spans the universe with his fingers and holds the oceans in his hand and picks up the earth like a grain of sand, chose to have those hands nailed to a cross because of how much he loves us. So if we ever forget how much he loves us and how personally involved he is in our lives, like, just remember Jesus, because he chose that for us. In his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis writes this. And it's such an amazing book. It's such a good quote. He writes, "If God sometimes speaks as though the impassable could suffer passion and eternal fullness could be in want, This can mean only that God, of mere miracle, has made himself able so to hunger and created in himself that which we can satisfy. If he requires us, the requirement is of his own choosing. If he, who in himself can lack nothing, chooses to need us, it is because we need to be needed. And this amazing concept is that this all-powerful God who needs nothing and lacks nothing creates in himself the desire that only we can fulfill. Like us, messed up, broken, incomplete people can meet a need that he creates in himself. Like, I don't think I'll ever get my head around that. But that is how passionately personal God is. That eternal fullness himself creates in himself the want and need for us, the desire for us. And God, in his total power, chooses to experience lack and to feel pain, feel grief, and to be in want for us, for you, because you are his beloved, you are his son, you are his daughter, you are his inheritance and his reward and his eternal joy. Like, that is how much you are valued and loved this morning. And so today, if you find yourself zoomed in on a worry, or zoomed in on a circumstance, or zoomed in on yourself, then my encouragement today is to be reminded that God is both powerful and totally personal. And linked to that encouragement is just a challenge this week, that if you recognize you need to be reminded of those things, then do what you can maybe this week to, for me, even going up, stepping up onto a hill or getting in nature reminds me again of how powerful God is. Or watching something like Blue Planet, I'm amazed again at how powerful and creative God is. But do what you need to do this week to be reminded of that. If you need to be reminded that he is personal and actively involved in your life, read the Passion story again, what Jesus went through for us, for you. Be reminded this week. Do what you can to be reminded this week of those two things. And I believe that as we grasp those, our perspective will shift, that glitch will be corrected, and we will see more and more clearly that he is present and at work and active in every single moment of our lives. And we'll start to see where he's almost ordering our steps and connecting the dots to be able to be a blessing to others, or be able to bless us. More and more and more, we'll see him at work in our lives, and it will change the way that we speak. It will change the way that we pray. It will change the way that we see the world and see other people. And ultimately, it will impact our legacy as well. Because instead of being like that professor whose legacy was that he just spent 15 years focused on his own eyeball, that is summarizing his work too much. He was a great professor as well. But his legacy was that he was focused, he saw his own eyeball. Our legacy, let that not be our legacy, that we are so zoomed in and focused on ourselves, but let it be that we have this perspective. Our perspective is filled with how great and how powerful and how good God is. Amen.